We're going to be in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9 today. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, as we continue our series called God on Race. And I want to talk about the origin of race and religion. So Genesis 11, 1 to 9, kind of get situated there. Let me just say, Wednesday night outside prayer and worship was awesome. And I'm really grateful for all of you that came and experienced that and ministered to my heart, to our family, I'm sure to you, and thankful for that time together. Such a great, great time. This week continues to let me know. Here's what I think I know. I think we need Jesus. How many of you think we need Jesus? I mean, it is crazy out there, and it just continues to get crazier. And for those of us, for those of you from Louisiana, some of you I've met already this morning. Some of you that are watching online that has been hit by a second hurricane. We pray for you. We're here to help. Just know you're in our thoughts and our prayers. But it's not just hurricanes. It's all kinds of things that make this place, this globe that we are riding on each and every day crazy. And one of the big issues that's paramount, at least in our culture, in our nation today, and really globally, is the issue of racism. And that's why we're spending 3 weeks talking about God on race, because there's so many voices out there that are screaming at us about this, telling us what we should believe, how we should be, all of those kinds of things. And I think it's paramount for the Church of Jesus Christ to look at what God says on race, to understand what the scriptures say about race. Because for all of us as Christians on any issue, the most important word that we can hear on any issue is the word of God. And that's where we're going to continue today. So last week I told you I'm building a three-legged stool from which you might sit and influence your neighborhood and the culture, the nations, particularly when it comes to the gospel and the issue of racism. And last week we went through this understanding, just this basic understanding. I said it was leg number one on the stool, and that the basic understanding was that each one of us has been created in the image of God. We talked about the Imago Dei, the idea that God created us in his own image, and the only distinction in the beginning was male and female. There's one race, the human race. But then we said also, even though we've universally been created in the image of God, we have also universally fallen. We, as people living in the 21st century, have inherited sin from our forefathers. It's a problem. And because of that, then thirdly, we needed a redeemer. We need we're in need of redemption, salvation, restoration, rescue. It doesn't matter what the skin color is of your skin. It doesn't matter what language you speak, what nation you're from, any of those. We, in the eyes of God, are equal. And that was the big takeaway, and that's what we needed to understand. And there was a theme song last week. Anybody remember the theme song? Sing it for me. That's it. I'm better than you. All right, so we're going to continue holding on to that theme song. We're going to need it maybe even a little bit more today as the theme progresses. So here's the thing. Stand with me, and we'll read Genesis chapter 11, 1 to 9. And if you're our guest, we say this phrase, the very words at the end of the main text reading, just to distinguish God's word from my own. So here's what the scripture says. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And then they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. You can be seated. Now, again, second leg of the stool is this idea of the origin of race and religion. So where did that come from? And when we try to answer that question biblically, the passage that we come to first is Genesis chapter 11, 1 to 9. Because up until this point, we have one race, the human race. And so we get to Genesis chapter 11, 1 to 9, and here's the big shift. And this just grows out of the Garden of Eden episode where the people choose their own way versus the way of God. It's the fall of humanity, right? That sin has entered the picture. Now, a few chapters later, it's years later, but in our Bibles, a few chapters later, here's what we find. And I think this applies for us today as well, is that in this moment, humans are attempting to achieve power independently of God. Humans are attempting to achieve power independently of God. If you look at the text, it is reflective of the first sin, Eden, in Eden. It is just a growing of this sin, but it's the idea that now, not just Adam and Eve, but now a race, the human race, is choosing to come together and really create their own religion, their own way to heaven, their own power. And here's what it says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. It says, "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth.'" So a couple things here. So the first time we ever get this idea of the phrase, "let us do anything," it comes in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where God said, "Let us make man in our own image." So what we're seeing in the language is a reversal. Now humanity is saying, "Let us do something greater." Now all the command that has been given to them is be fruitful and multiply and take dominion over the earth. But now man has got this idea, humanity has this idea that we're going to work together to propose a name for ourselves, to create a name for ourselves. And see, this is the sin of pride. Again, remember we talked about pride last week and we sang the song, "Let's Sing It Together." I'm better than you, right? This is the issue of pride. And sometimes it's not just about between each other, but sometimes we come with this sin of pride comes up against God. And we say, "Hey, we want to make a name for ourselves." When all of the scripture really is about, when you read it, it's all about learning to bless the name of God, to glorify the name of God, the expansion of the king and his kingdom. But here we find them, they're saying, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves." This is them saying, we have power over God. We have a better way. We want to make a name for ourselves. We want to build ourselves a city and a tower. We're better than you. At least our way is better than you. And this is the pinnacle of pride. This is humanism at its core, right? This is the idea that man is the most important center of the universe, that humanity is the most important center of the universe, and that I as an individual am the most important center of my universe. But now everybody's come together and said, "Hey, let's make a name for ourselves." And so this is our curse. I would say any of us that have lived for any length of time have thought, maybe not said it exactly this way, but thought, "I'm going to make a name for myself." Or have really pursued, instead of the glory of God, the glory of Brian or whatever your name is. You fill in the blank. This is the sin of pride, and it's when they come together in this way, it's the pinnacle of pride. It's the curse of being children of sinners because we lust for our own fame collectively and individually. We lust for our own fame. This kind of pride in cultures today exhibits attempts at power over God and other people. So we lust for our own fame, and my name is the most important name. Then I got to push other people down, and I got to push God away. I got to push other people down. I got to push God away. So I'm going to surround myself with the people that can help me make a name for myself, and I'm going to push people down, other people down, and push God away. If that's how I'm living, and this is the problem. This is the pinnacle. Humans are attempting to achieve power independently of God. Now, here's God's response. Here's what he does. He confuses and disperses people by language and geography. So Genesis chapter 11, 7 and 8 says, "Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth and they left off building the city." So all of a sudden, the Lord reverses this. So it started, remember, "Let us create man in our own image." Now humanity is saying, "Let us make a name for ourselves." Now God is saying, "That just won't be." And so, "Let us go down there and confuse their language and disperse them geographically." So all of a sudden, they're working from the same blueprint, they're speaking the same language, and now they can't even talk to each other. And now they begin to be pushed in segregated ways all across the globe. And now we have this idea of people groups. They speak their own language, they develop into tribes, they have their own tongue, so to speak. And so this is where the origin of race, as we think of race, really begins. Creatively, from God's perspective, there's one race, the human race, but as we think of race, this is where it begins, and this is where really religion begins, because all these races with different names, tribes, and tongues, they begin to choose their ways to God. And this is problematic. This is a sin issue formed in pride, but God disperses them because they have decided we will make a name for ourselves. So the result of God's disciplinary dispersion here is that man can't understand each other and they create their own ways to God. So when people groups can't understand each other, couple things kind of happen that we see, and we can see this in history. This ultimately, when people groups can't understand each other, they take pride in their own group above every other group, right? And that, what that brings is schism. So without Christ, this leads to oppression, segregation, wars, conflict, societal chaos, racism, and even genocide, because every people group is singing this song: "I'm better than you," right? Can you see it play out in history? Just a little bit maybe that you know, that you've seen in your lifetime or that you've read over time. This is the origin of race and religion. The schism that comes from that is based in pride. It all stems from us as humans desiring to make a name for ourselves, to steal the glory of God. I'll take you back. The one who attempted to steal the glory of God was Satan himself. According to the scripture, he was thrown from heaven because of it. Then Adam and Eve listened to this serpent, and he says, "Oh, you're not going to die. Your eyes will just be open and you'll be like God on the same level playing field." And so now they choose in the sin of pride to eat. And now we come to Genesis chapter 11, 1 to 9. And now everybody's saying, "Let us come together and make a name for ourselves." There's a Hebrew phrase, starts every blessing they ever pray: Baruch Hashem. Bless the name. Bless the name. And this is our way of life as believers. But when we begin to bless our own names, when we begin to think of ourselves as better than, we find ourselves in the world with all kinds of segregation and societal chaos. And racism is complicated, but it stems from this point. It stems from right here. So how do we find peace with God and racial reconciliation? Now, you might think to yourself, okay, this is great, Pastor Brian. You told us, you know, we're creating the image of God and we've all fallen. We all need a redeemer. I can agree with that. This is great, Pastor Brian. I can see the Tower of Babel. The people said, let us make a name for ourselves. And they shouldn't have done that because we're living for the name of one. I can agree with that, but how in 21st century America do we live in light of this issue of racism? How do we live God's way on racism? And let me just say that the only way that we do that preliminarily is as we are conformed to the image of the Creator. You will not be able to engage this issue in a gospel-centered way if you're not abiding in Christ and being transformed into the image of your Creator. I remind you of a scripture that we talked about last week, Colossians chapter 3, 10 and 11. It says, "And having put on the new self," this is the new self that Jesus gives those of us who believe in him and follow him. He makes us new from the inside out. We're born again. "Having put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator." Now that's where we started. He created us in the image of God. That's what the Creator did, but then we sinned and we were now living the image of Adam. But when we come to Jesus, now we're being transformed, restored to the image of our Creator. It's only here, being conformed to the image of our Creator, that we can actually live out God's heartbeat when it comes to the issue of racism in 21st century America. Here it says, "There's not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all." So here's my question. If we Christians of all colors cannot work in alignment, empowered by the Holy Spirit, for peace in 21st century America, who can? Because it's Christians who have the gospel message. They have the message of reconciliation. It's Christians who have the Holy Spirit inside of them, who have the power and the wisdom to bring reconciliation. It is the church of Jesus Christ then who needs to lead out on this, because we have been reconciled ourselves to God. We know what it's like to be reconciled. And my assumption is, based on history and thinking about the present, my assumption is that we have a huge responsibility as followers of Christ in this issue. As the church of Jesus Christ, filled with all nations, all tribes, and all tongues, we should be the picture of what the world is supposed to be like, created in the image of God. Among the churches, we need to pray for the end of racism in the church. And we need to be salt and light. I mean, that's what we were called to be in society. Sometimes people say, you know, we need to separate our faith and our understanding with what we do in society. It's not the case. We have to take the gospel to the public square. And right now, the public square is on fire with the issue of race. So if you're building a three-legged stool from which to speak, you give your discourse, whether you're posting it online or you're speaking it in public, or whether you're dealing with people in the context of relationships, understand we're all creating the image of God. We all have the same issues. We all need a redeemer. Secondly, understand that we all have this tendency to think we're better than everybody else, and because of it, we try to make a name for ourselves, and God does not honor that. He disperses it. He segregates it. And when a nation, I'll just say, when you look at our nation, when you see all the things that are going on, to me, indicator for the church, I'm not talking to anybody else except the church, indicator that the church is not salt and light out there like it needs to be. It's not loving its neighbor out there like it needs to be. Let's see. We've kind of said, you know, we're going to make a name for ourselves in a weird way. Or we said, let them make a name for themselves. This doesn't affect me in a weird way, and it affects all of us because we're supposed to be glorifying him, not only in here on Sunday morning, but in the public square, in the context of our relationships, our neighborhood, as we travel the planet, all those kinds of things. And if we Christians of all colors cannot work in alignment, empowered by the Holy Spirit for peace, then who can? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 18 to 20, it says this: all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. Do you think, as an ambassador of Christ, that he might want to make his appeal to the world for restoration and reconciliation through you? The answer to the question is yes. We have the message of reconciliation. We have the spirit of reconciliation. We have been reconciled ourselves. And I'm telling you, our discourse and our relationships and the way that we influence in the world all should reflect the glory of the name of God. We're not trying to make a name for ourselves. We're not trying to win. We're trying to restore, you see. It's interesting to me that God confused and dispersed people because they were unified. Isn't that weird? God dispersed people and made them speak different languages because they were unified. The problem wasn't that they were unified. The problem was they were unified in making a name for themselves. That was the problem. It always brings schism. And I think God in his sovereignty uses it. He uses that to sanctify his church, to restore his church, to rescue people. Now, here's my question. If people can be unified in such a way, the text says they were unified to make a name for themselves. And God in the text says they'll be able to do anything if we don't go down there, we, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, if we don't go down there and disperse them, they'll be able to do anything they propose to do. Now think about this. If that's the case, what if the church of Jesus Christ, again, people of every color, became unified, not to make a name for themselves, but instead to participate in the ministry of reconciliation as God makes a name for himself? Do you think if they were going to be unified to make a name for themselves, the people, and God observed anything they proposed to do, they'll be able to do because of their unity? We have to disperse this. How much more then would the church of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered with the gospel message of reconciliation, worshiping the King who is already victorious, have the opportunity, if unified, to accomplish the issue of racial reconciliation? People think this can't be solved. Why do they think it can't be solved? Because for hundreds of years, it's been going on one way or another. The issue keeps coming back up and coming back up and coming back up. So people think it just can't be solved. It won't be solved in my lifetime. I just would propose to you something different. What if the Church of Jesus Christ came together around the gospel, applied it in the culture to these issues, stood up for what is right, influenced in a way that is right and glorifying the Father, loving our neighbor well, loving God well, and loving people well? What if they did that and we were unified and we could do anything we propose to do because we're fueled by the Holy Spirit? The problem is we just don't. We just take a step back. We just say, not my problem. Or we point fingers at like the worldly, you know, explosive nature of this thing and say, well, look at that. That's terrible. And we go back in our houses. That's just the problem bubbling up, the problem underneath. we have answers to. We can do something about, but we have to be unified. Doesn't matter the color of our skin. It matters the king we serve. We have to be unified as ambassadors of Christ, making his appeal on this issue and many other issues in a gospel way in the world, for real. The problem is we've just gone the way of the culture instead of the way of Christ. We've just huddled up in whatever huddle we're in and said, you know what, this is, I'm just going to stay out of it. And we can't. We cannot as Christians. We have to be salt and light and love well. So here, what about you? What about you? What are you supposed to do? You're all fired up. You have no idea what to do. Let me give you some baby steps, some little things that you could think about, steps that you could take immediately. Here's the first one. Step one, pray for racial reconciliation in the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States. Pray for it in the church. I'm not talking about out there. I'm just taking a baby step. Pray for it in the church where there are issues of racism or that the church would repent, that the church would become unified, that we are creating the image of God, that we're all equally sinful. We all equally need to be saved. That we would crucify the I'm better than you mentality. Not in the church. I can understand in the world, but not in the church. Because it's not Jesus. This confuses the world when the church is not unified around these kinds of issues. Pray for racial reconciliation in the Church of America. Second thing, build genuine relationships with people of different ethnicities. Build genuine relationships with people of different ethnicities. Friendships. Really love people that are different than you. I don't know if I got lucky, but this week I was asked, you know, hey, tell me, let's look at your text thread and see, like, what color the people are that you text. What if we did that right now? You know, it's a little like bait and switch, right? You feel frustrated by that. I got lucky that week, this week, because I had texted two African Americans, a Jewish guy, and a Lebanese guy, all within, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I was grateful because my circle. I'm thankful. Now, we are a predominantly white church. We live in a predominantly white section of League City. You do not have to feel bad because you're white. Don't. But you have to fix your eyes on Jesus and apply the gospel in this situation. It is our problem as a church. Because if we don't, I'm telling you, we meaning not just this church, but collectively the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States, if we don't come together, this issue will not be solved. Will not be solved. It's been legislated to a degree, and yet, still. So think about this. Have someone over to your house for dinner who's different than you. Go to coffee with someone who's different than you, speaks a different language, has a different skin color. Get to know them. Ask them how they're experiencing all of this. Just say this, like, my pastor's talking a lot about God on race, and I'm thinking a lot about it. Can you tell me how you're feeling in this? And then just listen. You'll learn some stuff. And you'll have the opportunity to talk to you. We need to build real friendship. This is what you can do on the ground level. Pray for racial reconciliation in the context of the church. Not just this church, but the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States of America. Pray that the Lord would expand your circles, that you know lots of different kinds of people. The city of Houston is one of the most diverse cities in the United States. a lot of people around us that are Hispanic, Asian, African American, Norwegian, Swedish, they're all over the from all over the planet. Get to know people. Love people. Don't be too busy for people. This is my charge. This is the origin of race and religion. Genesis chapter 11, 1-9. It's the second of three legs of a stool that you need to sit on when you think about what you're going to say and how you're going to be when it comes to the issue of race in the United States today as a follower of Jesus, right? Would you bow your head and close your eyes and just ask the Lord to speak to you? Lord Jesus, we come before you and we bow low, simply acknowledging that you're the sovereign King of the universe. We confess our sin that says often we want to make a name for ourselves. Lord, help us to be people that glorify your name. You called us to two things, to be your followers. You said we need to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. Help us to do those two things really, really well, God. Lord, I pray if it be in your will, Lord, would you let people in this church have influence when it comes to the issue of racism in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our nation. God, would you bring peace? Would you let that belief that we have that we're all been created in the image of God be true in the church as we live together in community, not just this church, but every church in the United States. And let the church of Jesus Christ in the United States, God, give us wisdom to know how to lead on this issue. How to make a difference. God, when we need to be silent, help us to know that and be silent. When we need to serve, help us to know how to serve. God, when we need to lead, help us to know how to lead and influence. Most of all, we want to be right in the center of your will, being salt and light. And so, God, show us how to do that. I pray for my brothers and sisters, my friends and family that sit here today of all different kinds of backgrounds and situations and circumstances that have different experiences related to this issue. I pray, God, would you heal wounds that need to be healed? Take away thinking that isn't correct from your perspective. And God, would you bless them and keep them and make your face shine on them and be good to them and be their peace giver this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.